Oh.
We talking about practice. Not a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up when you just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that, man? We talking about practice. We talking about practice, man.
Indeed, this is Talking About Practice. I'm your host, Jarrell Gelbert, alongside me, as he is just about every week.
Yeah.
Mr. Derek Isamaki, what's happening, Derek?
What's good, everybody?
Oh, you know.
Hanging in there on the wet Mondays.
Yeah, big shout out to everyone downtown Chico. There's a bunch of kids running around for Treat Street, which I think is a pretty cool thing that Chico does. They basically, all the local businesses get together and hand out candy, and, you know, there's security and cops all over, as well as a bunch of volunteers, so the kids have somewhere safe to trick or treat and not have to be running the streets like I was when I was a little, you know, troublesome youth.
I get why they're doing it. It's awesome during the day, but it's like not nighttime, and I feel like that's kind of like the cool thing about trick or treating is going around nighttime, knocking on people's doors, not knowing what's going to happen. You know, like, you know, come on, let's have a little scare in this factor.
You may make it home, you may get poisoned, you may get kidnapped.
Yeah, you never know. Like, this is a dark world out there, people. It's time for these kids to know.
Let's stop sheltering the children.
We got this treat going on. It's like make it seem like it's all hunky dory out there. No, kids. It's yeah. Like treat taken street.
Well, classic contrarian Derek over there. I say that the town of Chico is doing something great for the kids, and you got to poke holes in what they're doing.
I see the cynicism in everything out there. Okay?
You sure do. It's almost like your birthright. We got a big show coming for you guys. We're going to obviously discuss Week 8 in the NFL. The NBA season tipped off last week, so we'll get into some of that. Now I know, as we do each week.
Whoop,
whoop. And you know, NFL ratings. But first, we'll start with baseball. Game five was last night?
Game five. Yes, it was, yeah.
Yep. And it wasn't looking great for the Cubs, and they managed to come back. And now it is 3-2.
Cleveland has a 3-2 lead after Chicago beat them 3-2 in game five yesterday. And, you know, like we like to say how baseball's a boring sport. A lot of people do, especially if you're not American. A lot of foreigners think baseball is completely doesn't have any purpose. It's rather boring. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say, this: if you haven't been watching this series or this playoff in general, you're really missing out on really what baseball is all about. I mean, we've had some really great games, I feel, in this series in particular. This Game 5 was another classic, I feel. It went
game
down.
Game 1 and 2, I'm sorry, were terrible.
Not that great, no, definitely not. But the ones in Wrigley, you definitely have felt a lot more of the tension out there, especially, I think, one of the big things you're seeing the good thing in this World Series is the fact that the Cubs are in it, and that's really saving baseball's butt right now. Because they needed a big name team in there, or at least a team that has a big history and a large following, which the Cubs certainly do.
Sure.
And they are proving that baseball still has a place in the American hearts, and they're still clinging on to the fact that a World Series is moments away from a team that hasn't experienced one in quite some time for both Cleveland or Chicago.
Yeah, I think baseball has been incredibly lucky as a league this season with their postseason. There has been more interest because of teams like Cleveland, teams that haven't won in so long. Obviously, the Cubs. And then beyond that, you look at teams like the Dodgers and Giants. There was at least they were playing for an opportunity to play against each other in the NLCS. And obviously, to both of our chagrin, that didn't happen, and to a lot of people in California. And I think nationwide would have liked to see that happen, but baseball's caught a lot of good breaks as far as the teams they've had down the stretch. Marquee franchises like the two I just named, obviously the Cubs, the Indians, the Red Sox were in it. I mean, baseball just had kind of a perfect storm of events and teams getting into the postseason that really made this postseason worth watching. And as we were both discussing earlier, and I know I was talking to the fellas earlier, Jake, Rick, and Grant in the office earlier, as I always do when I first get here, about the ratings. And the fact that baseball has been dominating football is
That's headline news right
that
there.
That is, and I'm not quite sure. I think there's a lot of things to account for that, but let me just give you a quick some quick numbers here. And we're going to talk about football ratings later on, so I don't want to go into some of those numbers just yet. But just last night, in comparison, baseball got an overnight rating of 15.2, which is pretty insane.
Especially for nowadays, yeah. That's a really high number.
And that's crazy for any...
If any primetime show ever got that, that would
be insane. But basically, that was 34% better than the Cowboys-Eagles Sunday Night Football game did last night. And to put this in perspective, baseball has not trumped football as far as primetime games in a head-to-head matchup. I want to say it's been 12 years. I could be wrong about that. I read that earlier. I don't even have the article in front of me because, again, we're not a professional.
No one pays us to do this.
We're just doing
it right now.
So I'm doing my best here.
I believe that because, I mean, for the longest time, I mean, you can think back. The playoffs, like I said, we've always said baseball is very much of a regional sport.
It is.
It doesn't have the national prowess that football does, and that any game can be a national consuming audience for football. At least that was in the past. Now we're really seeing a quick shift in things, like we said, with the ratings being down in the NFL. But with baseball in particular, like I said, this one isn't as regional anymore. Like I said, the Cubs being in there really has taken kind of that regional spirit and really has diversified that out there. So that's really, I think, a big help for that. Obviously, them, you know, having a serious team in there, a team that has, you know, like we've been saying before, the following that the Cubs do. But the fact that they are still able to beat a game that was the Cowboys and Phillies, which is the Cowboys, they're America's team.
Yeah.
You know, and the Phillies, which have a very strong following as well. Phillies, yeah.
At least it was the same.
The Eagles have a very strong following as well.
They do.
So that type of game, that's a marquee game right there in the NFL any other week, or at least in years past. You get a Cowboys and an Eagles team. One are riding a 5-1 record, and the other one's a 4-2 record.
I believe so. That's
yeah, something right there.
Yeah.
Either way, one lost Cowboy team and a 2-loss Eagles team. And that, like I said, right there, that's primetime television. All eyes should be on that. But it wasn't, and we clearly saw that because, you know, as we said last week, the product that the NFL is putting out there is no longer as eye-captivating as it used to be, or at least we're not wanting to be captivated by it anymore. Mm-hmm. And this baseball has gripped me. It really has. Like I said, granted, the Dodgers aren't in it, so I don't have as much of a fighting interest.
Right.
But I'm still watching the game, and I'm still intrigued by it because it is still a really good game, especially this Game 5 that it was.
Yeah, you know, for me, last night I was going through this where I was jumping back and forth between the World Series and the football game, and I found the World Series to be more captivating, even though, as far as my knowledge, I'm much more knowledgeable and experienced playing and knowing football and being around it. Baseball, I developed more of a love for later in life, so I should be more intrigued by a big marquee matchup, but I was pretty captivated by the World Series game, and keep in mind too, for me, like you said or alluded to earlier, we don't have necessarily a rooting interest.
No.
I don't really care who wins. I mean, it's going to be huge for either city that does win. Cubs fans really started to annoy me prior to Cleveland fans really annoying me, so I'm kind of in a weird pickle here, but I did find it interesting that, first of all, hold on, real quick, side note, Cleveland, you cannot call yourself Championship City or...
Are they really doing that?
The City of Champions, plural, and it should be the City of LeBron, because LeBron's trophy, and he's basically like, y'all can come over and check it out on the weekends. You know what I'm saying?
Don't touch.
Exactly. Like, it's LeBron's trophy. It's not Cleveland's. But we'll give it to you, Cleveland, but you are not home of champions or the City of Champions.
You're a City of a Champion.
Yes, and his name's LeBron.
Yeah, I was like...
And his buddies.
Like, if you get the World Series, I might be more inclined to give you that name, but even then, so you have not deserved that name at all.
No, in that year that Boston won all four major sports, I don't remember them doing the Home of Champions. And
I'm pretty sure Boston didn't have as long of a gap as Cleveland did for their championships.
Right.
Neither did LA, nor did New York.
Right.
And I can name a lot of other cities that haven't had that, so shut up, Cleveland.
Yeah, so that's a little annoying. But for me personally, I just found it interesting that I was more intrigued by baseball. And granted, it is the World Series, and these are two teams that whoever wins, again, it's going to be historic. But I just found I found it curious that my own sensibilities were more in line with wanting to watch baseball last night than to watch a Cowboys team who I've been wanting to watch because I haven't seen a whole game of theirs yet this season, and I've wanted to see Zeke Elliott run the ball and see what Dak Prescott looks for a full 60. And I was more intrigued by baseball.
I mean, even with Joe Buck calling the game, who I absolutely despise, I was still definitely like, yeah, let's do this. And sure, there's always something about it. Granted, a playoff game, a World Series game, I have a rather like kind of sadistic thing when it comes to my rooting interest in baseball when I don't have an interest, especially in the playoffs. I have a thing where I love watching the home team fans lose. Like, I love watching just faces of complete and utter depression.
Sure.
And I especially love it when they get eliminated. So right now, unfortunately, I was going for Cleveland last night because I wanted to see the Cubs fans have that reaction.
Yeah.
But now I'm going to go for the Cubs because I want to see Cleveland's fans react to just losing. Because, I mean, I know it sounds awful. Like, how could you be that way? But there's something about, like, just an atmosphere that baseball creates, especially a World Series game, that everyone's just on pins and needles. Like, half the time that they're cutting away from the game, they're showing either celebrity or someone with their hands right underneath their mouth. Like, it's like they're nail biting right there. And I love watching this, the sheer of utter, like, no, like, we just lost. We're gone. We have no more chance. The curse continues. I really wanted to see that in Chicago. Like, oh, another year. So, like, it makes me sound awful, I realize. But, again, I didn't have a rooting interest. I'm just going for a good series. So, yeah. I'd love to see a Game 7 happen. I think that would be great for the sport in general. And I think the series kind of deserves it. You know, make these teams really sweat it out right now. But I think it's more of the towns in general, I think, are the worst sweating it out, I feel, for some reason.
Yeah.
I know they're not playing in it. But I feel like it's the towns are really, like, we need this more than anything. Like, you players, right. I know you're getting paid money to do this since, like, your probably childhood fantasy to play in these games, but I need this more than you do right now.
Right. And I find that interesting. But I can also relate because I remember a couple years ago when the Warriors were in the finals for the first time in my lifetime, how big of a deal that was to me personally, even though I have no connection to the players as far as personally. I'm not from Oakland, though I've played a lot of basketball there as a kid. I'm not from there. They were my hometown team.
Yeah, that's...
But that team doesn't care about me.
No.
You know, and I was going to make this point later on with professional sports because I was commenting to you earlier how I've been more intrigued with college football this year than I have been in many, many, many years. And I think a lot of that, and I'm not sure why exactly, but it's weird because college fans have more of an affinity for their team and a loyalty to their team.
True.
Rightly so in most cases than you would for a professional franchise. And oftentimes it's because you're an alum of that school or your dad or mom or someone in your family went to that school.
There's a much more personal connection.
Right. So you actually are part of, maybe you didn't play for, you know, University of Texas football, but you went there, your aunt did, you know, so there is a bit more of a personal connection when most of the people I know in my own inner circle have no personal connection to the Golden State Warriors, but there is still like, oh, we got to do this for Oakland. It's like, nah, they're not doing it for the city.
Yeah, no, they're not. Yeah, it's theirs, you know?
Yeah. They're not going to, like, tour this around town and, like, we all, like, benefit from it. You know what I mean? Like,
they'll have a parade and let you see it.
Sure.
But yeah.
And, yes, a couple jobs, like, temporary positions are created, you know? Yeah. But that's I'm not necessarily signing up to be to work the parade. So not super super – I don't know. Anyway,
that was smooth right there.
I'm sorry. I got a text and just got all confused and started reading the text. Thanks, Tucker. I'm on air, bud.
a little discombobulated right now.
Yeah. The point I was trying to make, I was just making in a very long-winded way. Basically, we typically don't have the same affinity for professional franchises, nor should we, because they don't care about us, the consumer, except when we're buying their products.
That's all I see it as a consumer.
Right. Yeah. That's the point I'm trying to make there. But yeah, the World Series just and postseason baseball in general this year has been a lot of fun to follow, and I've been more into it than I have been in a non-Giants. Well, I guess they were in it, so I don't know. It's just been more intriguing.
It has been. It's like I said, the Cubs definitely create a nice storyline. People are, the 108-year absence is, you know, everyone knows that. They all heard it. They've all heard of Cubs fans whine.
Sure.
So.
Yep.
No, that was me. Sorry.
Oh, that was confusing. I thought someone was knocking on the door. All right, so anything else on baseball, or can we move forward? I want to talk about these ratings.
Yeah, there was only one game to talk about.
Okay,
Game six tomorrow in Cleveland.
Yes, and so by the time you hear our voices next, we will have determined a World Series champion, so that will be we'll definitely talk more about that next week. I do want to get into these NFL ratings, though. The ratings are down across the board, regionally and nationally. Televised games are down across the board. Recent numbers came out after the just about the first half of the season has wrapped now, and Sunday night football, primetime football, is down 19% from last year. That is huge. Okay, Monday night football is down 24% from last year. And so the question I have is, what's wrong with football? This is something we try to squeeze into a five-minute segment, and I think I wanted to give this a little more time because I don't know that there's a right or wrong answer here, Derek.
Yeah, no, I don't think they don't know it either. They're probably scrambling to figure it out too.
Well, one thing Jake pointed out is the NFL has kind of said, well, it's an election year. Well, then what's the excuse for baseball? Because baseball's been crushing it.
I was going to say election. They don't have any. There's nothing that's going on Sundays that the election's doing that. You
right.
Know, like, oh, I'm sorry, guys, I can't watch football because I've got to watch Hillary talk.
Well, I think
I've
there was
to
a
Donald.
There was a couple times, was there not, where the debate fell on...
I feel like the debates were only on a Tuesday night. I feel like when it was either... Maybe have been on a, it may was, have been on a Monday night.
There was,
may have been a Monday night.
There was one, though, that was on a Sunday. I remember because we did the KZFR programmer appreciation dinner over at CIFO's, and the election was on, and that was a Sunday.
So was that a Sunday?
Or not the election, but the debate.
It was a debate.
But
you're true. And there was one on Monday, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you had to cut the show short.
But still, is that... There hasn't been a debate every Sunday and Monday night.
No, there's
night.
Not.
So that cannot account for 19% of Sunday night games and 24% of Monday night games. Because this has a large enough sample size now. We have 8 weeks of football to look back on. And so, sure, that may explain a night or two away. But you can't explain that dramatic of a drop across the board. And I know, personally, I've been feeling it. And it's not that I've been turning it off to watch the debate. I know Amy flipped it from Monday Night Football to the debate a week or two ago. But other than that, I mean, it's not like... I don't know. For me personally, the primetime games haven't been... Besides week one, they haven't been anything that has really grabbed my attention.
Yeah, same here. I mean, it's definitely a question that's been, you know, obviously we talked about it last week, and I've been thinking about it this entire week going forward of what is going on with the NFL right now. And something that came to my mind was thinking that a lot of it has to be like an oversaturation of it at this point.
Sure.
We have an NFL network that does NFL football 24/7, even when football's not even on. We have a constant, like, potentially, you know, everything's being updated, like, what's going on, you know, with these teams every single day. Like, every movement is tracked by them.
Yeah.
That, and we also have 3 days of NFL football. But Thursday night games, I think, are terrible. Mm-hmm. You give a Sunday, and you have to take all day Sunday to play all the games. You know, you have to go from, which I get, like, the morning and the midday, but then you have Sunday night football as well.
Yeah,
it's like you're just so much, and then Monday night as well.
But for us, though, for example, last season, I would say you and I... on multiple occasions, probably consumed about 10 straight hours of football.
Yeah, we did. And
on,
like I said,
on a few occasions. Yeah. We haven't done that once this year. We're not even scheduling our Sundays around like,
you're
going to be over at 10. Let's make sure we got the food and the brews and like we were doing last year. Because it just, for me, I mean, of course, I'm still getting up. I'm still watching it. But I'm not like, say, telling friends, like, don't come over or I can't do this or... I'm not scheduling my life around Sundays anymore. I simply am not. Yesterday just happened to be happenstance that I was home. My little cousin Chase was in town. He wanted to come over and watch football. So I said, why not? But I just wasn't, you know, I didn't call you. I didn't make a big deal out of it. I didn't make a big stink and invite people over to cook and watch the game like I usually do. It hasn't appealed to me this year. I do want to refute one thing on the NFL network. I mean, the NBA has a network. So does...
That
baseball,
is true. They do.
You know?
And neither one of them suffered. But that's the thing, though. I think that football, it got to a point where it reached its peak attraction to us.
Yeah.
Like, shit, football and baseball haven't reached that yet. We're still kind of, I think we're coming off of football a little bit and finding other venues, other forms of entertainment. Because at some point in time, you are going to reach a plateau where you're not going to get new fan bases. You're going to start losing people because people get bored of it. Because the game is roughly, it's gotten, not to say stale, but in some sense it kind of has. I mean, it's the same thing, and it's got a lot of the same issues that they still haven't quite corrected. We still don't know really what a catch is. We had this whole debacle with Brady, that hangover, this 2 years of Brady and this stupid airball situation. You know, that type of situation, and it still kept coming through. And that's when I say, like, that oversaturation, I think we just all got pumped full of it. They were like, okay, I just need to take a quick break. I'm still going to pay attention to it. Not only just that, but also, like, fantasy, too. Like, I am honestly, seriously, I contemplate never playing fantasy football again because I'm tired of it. I really just, like, it just makes me have to, like, do something every week for football, and it's like, I don't really care that much about this.
Yeah, it used to be something that you kind of looked forward to and, like, oh, set my alarm for, you know, 9 a.m., got to wake up.
Yeah, I can't do that. I always work late, and I never get up in time, so my lineup's usually pretty jacked up.
Yeah, but, yeah, it's just, I think those are all contributing factors. I think, honestly, a big part about it, too, is we mentioned the flags last week, how they're flagging everything. Every time someone goes down the field on a deep route, the wide receiver, if they don't make the catch, is looking for the football. If they do make the catch, half the time the DB's looking over for a flag from the ref as well. Them penalizing the celebrations, and some of these celebrations are of such little consequence. It's a guy, like, spinning the football after they make a catch. Here goes a flag, pointing a first down. And I know there's a certain demographic that doesn't necessarily love some of the hot dogging, and I'm not one of those guys. I actually prefer more of that in my sports because, again, I look at this as a game. It's not something to be taken overly serious, and these guys are getting paid millions of dollars, so if they want to dance, let them dance. But that's again, in line with that's my own sensibilities. But I do think that to a certain point, I mean, there was 23 flags thrown on the Raiders alone yesterday. Now, granted, that is an NFL record, but it just takes so damn long to finish. That game started at 10 a.m. yesterday, and I believe it finished around 2.
That sounds about... Granted, they played like 5 quarters.
They did play in overtime, yeah. And that overtime was figured out in the last minute 30. So, you know, that does make sense, but and it could have been even closer to 2:30, because I know it was well...
Yeah, it went on for
into
a while.
The afternoon games. I remember it was going into the second, that's almost halftime.
I was like, that's the only reason why I caught that game is because I got up and I started watching football usually when the second half of the game started. And, yeah, well, shout out to the Raiders on that. I mean, you know, Derek Carr had himself a nice little game. 500-plus yards, 4 touchdowns, and the win.
Yeah.
Raiders continue winning. And that scares me. Like, that's one of the reasons why, too. Like, why are the – like, this world's wrong right now because the Raiders are winning. Like, I'm not used to this
NFL. No. Everything's right with the world. The Browns still haven't won a game, so things still make sense. But in regards to the ratings, before we move off this, I know we do want to talk a little Raiders football here. Before we move off, I do think, though, that the product on the field has been... Yesterday was a decent day in NFL football overall, but the product has been kind of garbage to watch. This new age, and we touched on this last week, but maybe we could spend a few more minutes on it this week. This new age of throwing the ball 4 yards and 5 yards and these checkdowns, and we're just going to dink and dunk down the field. And this isn't even West Coast offense. This is just boring to watch. At least with the West Coast offense, there's all these exotic routes. I'm talking about traditional Bill Walsh, Joe Montana. There's all sorts of exotic packages that they're running, and they're hitting you over the middle with, you know, 5 and 10 yard passes at a time, and that was all to open up the running game. And that's one thing that we are severely missing in football. There has been, I think, only 3 runs over 65 yards this season, and when I was watching college football this weekend, that's one thing I was like, why does this look so different? Oh, they're running the football, and they're running off 20-yard runs here and there. And the running game, yes, you know, when you just run it up the middle for 2 and 3 yards at a time, every time, that gets really boring. But I don't know that there's much more exciting plays in all of sports than a running back breaking off a huge run. And the de-emphasis on the running game and the emphasis on the short pass game, I think, makes for a garbage product on the field and is incredibly boring to watch. And I was just wondering if you had any thoughts on that theory.
Well, it's interesting you kind of start talking about that, because that's the way a lot of people thought the NFL got exciting, was all the passing that was going on, because people wanted to see more scoring, because
sure.
People think more passing leads to more yardage gain. More yardage gains means, you know, obviously you're getting closer to the end zone and scoring touchdowns. The running game, it's got to be a mixture of the both, I feel. Like, to me, I do love a good passing game. I love when I can see a wide receiver make an amazing catch that you shouldn't have been able to make. And you're like you did say, watching a running back break off an incredible run is awesome. And you don't really get that right now. And you do wonder, like, is the running game really dead in the NFL? Can anyone really bring it back? Or have all defensive coordinators be able to figure out how to stop every single running game? Granted, there are still people out there who are still able to get their 100-yard gains and still get touchdowns. But again, like I said, it's nothing as exciting as it used to be, and there's not as many of them anymore.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few guys that have been doing it this year. Zeke Elliott with the Cowboys, obviously. I got a chance to really kind of watch him last night, and he's a lot of fun, man. He runs hard. He's the type of runner I really enjoy running. One who can run in between the tackles, doesn't mind getting physical, and that's also because he's a rookie and he's going to get worn out in 5 or 6 years. But LeSean McCoy is another guy that I really enjoy just watching.
David Johnson, he's probably one of my favorites.
He's a lot of fun,
yeah.
Too. Yeah, I was going to mention David Johnson. Thank you. He's a ton of fun as well. So there are some guys, but we see so little of it across the NFL. And I think, if you look back to the 80s and the 90s, your superstars were the quarterbacks and they're the running backs.
Yeah.
You know, whether it was Walter Payton, whether it was Barry Sanders, whether it was Marshall Faulk.
You go like Sean Alexander, Jerome Bettis, Doug Martin.
Right.
Curtis Martin
for the Jets. Yeah. All these guys were...
Mike Allstott, a fullback, was a huge star right
there.
Even
Garrison Hurst for the Niners back in the day. Ricky Waters, all these guys, we can name all these guys who...
Ricky Williams.
Yeah.
Edgerrin James.
Yeah. The list goes on and on. And now this position has been so devalued, and it's almost as if running backs are so interchangeable that there's no emphasis on really building up your running back. That it's almost like let's just do it by committee. Let's get three no-name guys back there. One of them's sure to be okay, and the other two will just, you know, split carries. And we just don't have these guys that are super explosive as often as we were used to seeing back in the day.
I would say, one of the last guys that kind of had that explosion was like Adrian Peterson, and he's reaching up there in age and obviously not playing right now because he's hurt. And he kind of was that, you want to say that kind of last back that had that potential to really just kind of dominate a game right there.
Mm-hmm.
You have some guys that are coming up there, like you mentioned before, with LeSean McCoy, obviously we said David Johnson and Zeke Elliott, but a lot of them are also catching backs too. A lot of them have that ability in
right.
there, and that's really a big part of both of their games is still the passing game. The running back is still very much incorporated. Like I said, as opposed to those guys who are really just, I'm just a straight runner for the most part.
Right. So, I do think that kind of contributes to it, because I personally really do miss that part of the game whenever they hand the ball off, just not knowing. I remember every time they gave it to Barry Sanders, he may run for -2 yards on a given play, and it'll be the most exciting -2 yards you've ever seen. You know, it's stuff like that that I think we miss. And then just, okay. Let's transition. I think bringing in the Raiders right now would be perfect. The Raiders, for example, their defense is kind of a mess, but they're fun to watch because they do run the ball, but they also throw it down the field.
They do.
A lot. And some of those passes should be picked off and not. I think Derek Carr has thrown the second most interceptable balls in the league this year. But good Lord, I am so much more pleased watching that type of football, the gunslinger type football where you're willing to throw it down the field. The worst that could happen is the other team gets the ball, but you know what, they're gonna get it 50 yards down the field which if you get a three and out, they might, and you
punt
it,
like a punt pretty much.
So I think that type of football is so much more appealing. The only team who does the dink and dunk well, where they're just surgical with it is the Patriots, and then they're just doing that so they can hit you over the top for a 50-yard bomb.
I mean, they were like them in the and the Colts were like the ones that really kind of got that type of play going, really, with Peyton Manning loving his slant routes and Belichick trying to find any ways to get, you know, people the ball.
Yeah,
you know. So they've been doing it for a while now. I think a lot of teams are trying to mirror that, but just because, you know, one team's doing it doesn't mean that you can do it too. You know, you need a certain personnel to do that. You need the right coaching staff to be able to coach it. And it's, you have to incorporate that correctly. And the, Belichick has really found, you know, the perfect groove to meet that dink and dak, but, that, what am I? Ugh, I can't talk. I'm
the
sorry.
Short pass.
The short pass.
Yeah, yes.
But also mixing that in with the long ball. I mean, you still have Tom Brady throwing bombs out there.
Right. I believe he's in four games back. He's thrown twelve touchdowns and zero interceptions. Noobs just hit us up with Melvin Gordon. We forgot to mention him. He is exciting.
Oh, yes.
He is a great young running back. Shouts to Noobs. He'll be back next week. So we're looking forward to him coming
back. One thing about Melvin Gordon, though, I feel like, to your point, though, he doesn't break off the big runs. He makes a lot of his touchdowns within the 5 yards of the goal line, I feel.
Yeah, and he's much better at catching the ball out of the backfield.
Yeah.
And I believe at some point yesterday, one of the announcers said that he was averaging 3 yards a carry. So that, your point, Derek, this is FM 90.1 KZFR, broadcasting live from downtown Chico, California, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. This is Talking About Practice. Jarrell Gilbert alongside Derek Isumaki. Noobs will be back next week. Thanks for listening there. We have a read.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're not done with this yet. Let's keep going.
My bad. Talking About Practice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by the Chico Women's Club. Built in 1913, the historic Chico Women's Club is available for classes, events, concerts, weddings, and celebrations. Located at the entry of Bidwell Park, the Chico Women's Club offers a truly classic setting with modern amenities. Visit chicowomensclub.org for more information and appointments. The Chico Women's Club is super cool. I'm not obviously not allowed to tell you guys what you should do or do any calls of actions, but we hold a lot of our events there, and it's just a really cool venue. So if we're throwing an event, I can do that. If we're throwing an event, it's at the Chico Women's Club. All of you, buy a ticket and go, because it's a cool venue.
Oh, yeah,
and
is.
Our shows are awesome. So do that. Let's move on and actually talk football that was played yesterday. Does that sound good?
Yeah,
instead of complaining about what's wrong with football?
Yeah.
Let's talk about what we actually saw yesterday. Obviously, Raiders win in overtime. I thought we were headed to another tie, and I was kind of rooting for it because I
really did too.
I do like chaos, and they need to reform that rule somehow. And I don't care how they do it, but they need to reform. Football should never end in a tie.
They should.
It just shouldn't.
Yeah, just ended in penalty kicks through the up goalpost. You know. Who can, like, just have the kicker 10 yards each time and whoever first one to miss.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about kickers later because I hate them and they're useless and the field goal is dumb. But, they need to amend that rule. And I was rooting for that, but the Raiders do pull it off. Man, that tackle, if you watched the game, the pass was to Roberts. I think it was about a 15-yard over the middle pass that Derek Carr completed. And Roberts ended up taking it the additional 40 yards or 30 yards, whatever it was. And number 30, whoever that is on Tampa Bay, bro, I'm sorry, man.
There was two guys.
Yeah, but number 30 came in and didn't even attempt to wrap up. And that is a game, potentially game-saving play. If you tackle him there, you stop him, you leave it on Janikowski, who just missed a 51-yard field goal a possession or two earlier. You never know what may happen. So, I mean, that was they teach you that in Pop Warner, man. And he just threw his shoulder at him, just like, all right, this is what we're going to do, and hopefully I pop the ball out or something.
I think he was just hoping, like, he didn't even want to end in a tie. He was like, you know, I can't have a tie on my record. I'd rather take the loss.
Yeah.
I'm taking the L. No ties in my life. I don't tie.
But I did find that that was – at least the end of the game was fun. The Raiders have just been a lot of fun to watch. Thank God we do have the Raiders in the Bay Area. There's one team that's interesting to watch. The other team, I'm pretty sure, lost during the bye week.
You didn't have to watch them last week. So.
I think they lost, though. Anyway, okay. I think they lost during their bye. my buddy Juan actually sent me a graphic last night that said bye week and the Niners in the bye week won 34-14.
I saw the same thing, but for the Panthers last week.
Okay, yeah. So yeah, I thought that was funny. Yeah. excuse me. So, yeah, the Raiders have been fun to watch. I still don't know that they're for real because their defense has given up 203 points or 230 points. I'm sometimes dyslexic, so I might have those numbers backwards. But their defense is a real liability, but they are explosive on offense. They have all sorts of skill position players. And when people started to keep comparing and contrasting the two teams, but when people keep talking about what's wrong with the Niners and how the Raiders are great, first of all, I don't think the Raiders are great. I think they're good. But look at the skill position players. The Niners wide receivers, and shouts to Torrey Smith because I love Torrey Smith and I think he is completely wasting his last 2 years here and needs to be traded ASAP. But the Niners wide receivers might have the worst wide receiving unit in the NFL. And
there's
then
not a lot of star power there.
No, and then their tight end Vance McDonald. He's okay.
Who's that again?
Okay. Yeah. Their running backs, Carlos Hyde, was supposed to be this hugely dynamic running back, and he hasn't played enough to really, I think, have a sample size big enough to really know. Well, I think we do know he's an above average running back, but he's not dynamic.
I would say he's probably one of your better offensive weapons you have. Granted, you don't have many of them. So.
Right, and it's hard to tell when your offensive line hasn't been great and your quarterback hasn't been able to really move the ball and people are loading up the box. But I think you can tell when a player is dynamic pretty early on in their career. You at least see flashes of it.
Like a Zeke Elliott type right now.
We've seen flashes. Like last year, for example, Carlos Hyde in the first game against the Minnesota Vikings made this spin move where he cut on one foot, and in the middle of him cutting, he decided to spin off of that one foot. And it's hard to explain the play, but it's something that I think maybe six human beings ever in the history of human beings have been able to do. I mean, it's just a freak athletic play, but it's just not been consistent enough to be dynamic. So, that's, I think, the biggest difference between these two teams. The Raiders have drafted really well, and the Niners have drafted really poorly, and it's time for Trent Baalke to go. But let's not make this all negative, right?
That's about the Niners? I wasn't saying there's positive to say about them.
No, I just want to move off the Niners entirely. Yeah. I don't want to talk about the Bengals-Redskins game, really.
I just wanted to say that England experienced another tie in football with the Bengals and the Redskins, Washington going to tie in 27-all.
Yeah, that was garbage.
Yeah, that's all I wanted to say is ties in football. They're fun.
Atlanta, trust them. Fly, Falcons, fly.
Yeah, but come on, dude. You were trying to say that I did not know what I was talking about last week. They are for real.
Do not trust the Falcons. Whatever you do, ladies and gentlemen.
They are for real.
Do not trust the Falcons. If you're a Falcons fan, you know this. You've been down this road. Eugene Robinson, NFL Man of the Year, got arrested night before the Super Bowl, soliciting a prostitute. This is what they do, man. They're going to fool you if you're a fan of this team.
Well, they're from ATL. What do you expect?
Yeah. They're going to fool you. They're going to look like this some weeks.
They'll be getting to the playoffs, though.
Julio Jones, yes, I believe they will. But if that also
that's
has
the
to,
only realness I'm trying to say that they have.
Yeah,
is
this also
real
has more to do with that garbage division they're in.
Okay, yeah, that's going to help them out a lot.
NFC
but
South, Tampa Bay,
Carolina,
and
New
Orleans. And it has not looked good for many of those teams this season. No. So, yes, they'll be in the playoffs. I just don't pencil them into the Super Bowl just yet.
No, they don't get the Super Bowls. They just get the playoffs.
Well, they got to that one, and then the NFL Man of the Year, Eugene Robinson, got arrested the night before the Super Bowl with his family in town for soliciting a prostitute. I will never let that go. So.
And then they lost to good old John Elway.
Yeah, that happened.
Yeah. He's from my hometown, actually. He went to my high school, John Elway, Grand Hills High School.
No kidding?
Yeah, he went to we have my football stadium at my high school where I ran track is John Elway Stadium.
Have I known you this long and never heard this?
I honestly keep forgetting that's like a cool tidbit of my life that I have.
That is
cool.
Could,
you know, share with people.
That's actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right.
There we go. See, I'm famous.
There you go.
Okay. Maybe not. My area is famous.
Yeah. All right. So moving on. Ooh, Carolina.
They won.
They won.
What?
They looked good. But all the talk quickly shifted to Cam Newton's
with
post-game.
That fly outfit he had on.
Oh man,
come on! That hat.
If you haven't
fire.
Seen his outfit, he was wearing a green hat. Is that with a roller derby hat?
I think so. With a nice little feather in there.
Pink feathers.
And he also wore shoes that a 1980s middle school girl would wear.
Yes, also with a pink sports coat and pants to match.
Was it more like green?
No, it's pink. I have a picture right here.
Oh, the hat was green.
The hat was green.
I apologize.
Yeah, yes. Let's get into this sound because I think this was more interesting than them actually winning because I don't think the Cardinals are very good this year. So let's get into this sound real quick.
Yeah, it's not fun.
Play. There we go.
It's not fun. It's really taking the fun out of the game for me, honestly. It really is because at times I don't even feel safe, right? And enough is enough. You know, I plan on talking to Commissioner Goodell about this, but it's not fun. And I don't know what I have to do. I mean, I showed a lot of frustration today, and I apologize to the referee, you know, who I was talking to, but I don't think it's a person that can go through what I go through and still keep their head. You know what I'm saying? And hits to the head, that's one thing. But when you're not protected in the pocket, that's another thing. And the story of my life ever since I came in is just, well, we missed that one. I'm sorry. I try to get it. That's bull crap. That's bull crap. As players in this league, we do something stupid, we get fined. If we do something derogatory to somebody else, we get fined. And I just can't keep accepting, we missed that one, or I apologize for doing that, or I didn't see it. That's horse crap.
All right, so, yeah, he had a lot to say, obviously. You're a Panthers fan, so I want to make room for you to kind of give your input before I give my take on this.
I was going to say, it makes him sound kind of sad a little bit. Like, I don't know why he's making this plight to the media right now and stuff. It's football. And you just kind of have to, as much as I get what he's coming from, because you do want to protect himself, but again, you're playing a game that is known for its brutality, for its vicious hits, and you kind of just have to, I feel, play through it and just sit there silent and just kind of play through the pain. I mean, I can't remember who it was, but I saw some guy from Pittsburgh saying that Ben Roethlisberger takes a ton of hits himself. You know, guy gets hurt all the time, and you don't hear him complaining about it. And him trying to say, like, he wants to meet up with Roger Goodell to talk about it, it's, I don't know. I thought it's just like a little kid is trying to complain to, you know, because of people are playing tough with him.
I honestly think you're being a little hard on him. I think that he has a point. Calais Campbell went really low, went below the knees, and that was an obvious flag that he didn't get flagged on. And Cam Newton has been hit something like 200 more times than any other quarterback in the last two seasons and has yet to have a roughing the passer call go his way in the last two seasons. And those numbers just don't add up. And we talked about this after that Thursday night home season opener against the Broncos, when there was like four or five shots that he took in the head or face mask that should have been flagged that weren't. And so I think he has a reason to complain. Now, I will say that he was taking those same shots last year, but they were 15-1 and we didn't hear any of this. And that's when it sounds a little bit soft to me. You know what I'm saying?
Again, I say I agree that he's getting hit too much and there's something needs to be done to do that. But him coming up to the podium and just being so blatantly like, woe is me, this attitude right now, which part of him, yeah, sure, you're getting hit a lot. That's not fun. You don't want to be in there. But I think I would have more respect for him, I feel, if you took it and then, you know, worked it out without having to blare it out there in the media. Like, hey, here's what I'm doing because I'm taking too many hits and stuff. Like, dude, you're playing a game where you're supposed to take hits, you know?
Right. And I did find it funny when he said it's not safe. And it's like, well, yeah, that's football player.
Yeah.
It's the wrong sport to look for safety, man. I mean,
where's my bubble that I can sit in right now?
That's classic.
That's what golf's meant for.
We only have about 17 more minutes in the show, 60 more minutes in the show, and we have a lot of stuff to get through. So let's kind of rapid fire these. Yeah. Belichick trades Pro Bowler Collins, their linebacker there, because he wanted Von Miller type of money, I suppose. That's at least according to Derek Isamaki.
My limited research I do.
Hold on. And then in the notes here it says, I'm sorry, is your last name Brady? No, then you don't matter, and I can replace you.
That's true, I feel, honestly, what Belichick's mindset is.
Anyway, it absolutely has been. Yeah. And they'll get rid of you. I mean, they weren't going to re-sign him, and this is what Belichick's master plan has always been, is we always get rid of the guys a year or two before they're done or a year or two before they ask for big money, because they're not going to pay anyone big money, let alone our possibly the greatest QB of all time, or at least one of them. The Patriots are keep doing it, man. It's crazy to me that they're just always good.
I mean, people don't, you know, that term well-oiled machine is something that some people like or don't like that analogy, but that's honestly kind of what it is. He's got like an engine here that is like running at high efficiency, and he knows what parts he can use and stuff, and he finds the parts that will still make that engine perform that way. And Jamie Collins, the linebacker in question, a Pro Bowler in himself. But a guy who's asking for Von Miller type money, in certain ways, that's a type of contract that can almost type of cripple a franchise with how much money you're giving to one person in a capped league right here. So he knows what he's doing. Like you said, so Belichick, he's just the mastermind, and just he plays his fiddle.
Yeah. It's just I'm excited to have Noobs back here because I want to talk to him about this in more detail maybe next week. But
yeah, he'd probably have a little bit more information than a guy who wanted Von Miller money got cut.
Right. What the Patriots do will never cease to amaze me. They just do this year in, year out. They're just dominant. And that coaching staff, Belichick is, I mean, the entire team is just impressive. And then, you know, it doesn't hurt that they have two dragons wearing football clothes as Halloween outfits as their two tight ends, because those two guys are great. And the greatest tight end duo ever in the league. I don't think that's even close with what they have going on. They had a murderer running around out there, and they're awesome. They oftentimes, I mean, Julian Edelman, any other team, if he's on any other team in the NFL, he's probably no longer in the league.
Yeah, I was going to say, he probably doesn't get much playing time.
Right.
And there he's awesome.
Right. Yeah. And I just don't understand it. I mean, we talked about this a bit a couple weeks ago, how besides Randy Moss, I mean, Tom Brady has spent much of his career throwing to guys like Troy Vincent. You know what I mean?
Wes Welker was a nobody before he came to the Pats, and then he, like, became Wes Welker.
Right. Brandon LaFell, I mean, he's doing okay in Cincy, but he's not.
You're like Deion Branch.
Right. These are the guys he's been throwing to his whole career, and meanwhile, he's just been, you know, four-time Super Bowl winner, I don't know, 100-time MVP.
I
don't
think that's accurate. The greatest human being on the planet? Yeah.
He's the golden boy.
Yeah.
All right.
I think that's week eight for you right there. There's nothing more.
Yeah, let's try to squeeze in some hoop real quick.
Before we
do that, quick shout-out to the Lady Wildcats. The women's volleyball team right now, 17-6 record. Two of three games this weekend. They have been crushing it. They will be in the postseason. I encourage all of you to go to their game this Saturday. We'll be there. We're going to be giving away a bike, actually, Saturday evening.
Are we actually giving it away then?
Yeah, we're giving it away during one of the half times. So, you know, shouts to those girls. Big shouts to Olivia and Jackie who came through. We'll make sure to have them back on when we can. I know they're super busy. So we'd like to get them on.
Hopefully by time playoffs start.
We would love to. You know, it's
if
always
possible.
They're usually practicing when we are doing the show, so it's hard to.
Last time they were in here, they literally ran over from practice.
Yeah, so, they were legit in their practice stuff. So
shouts to them for doing that.
Yeah, thank you again for doing the show, ladies. That was a lot of fun, and we'll be happy to have them back just as soon as we can. Men's basketball starts this weekend, I want to say, so shouts to Jalen and all those boys. We'll be to a bunch of those games. Women's basketball starts as well. So, you know, a lot of people, we'll be keeping you updated throughout the season on that stuff, and we'll make sure to get as many of those men and women in here as we can. But we just want to thank the men and women of the teams we mentioned that have taken the time to come in and spend a little time with us, and we will be supporting them all season. So let's get into hoop. Last week, when we did the show, it was a night before the Warriors got smacked by Spurs. My goodness, that looked awful.
And at home, too.
Ooh,
that's
man.
A tough one to go.
Super teams shouldn't lose like that ever, especially at home. But it was their first game. I don't think overreacting is the way to go, but I don't think we should downplay that either. Losing by 29 at home is a big deal, especially when you have no major injuries. Again, granted, first game of the season, but they look terrible. And I've watched every game this season, and they haven't looked a hell of a lot better since. The level of competition has just been really – they played
– the Pelicans and the Suns, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Which might have a combined record of 1-6. So
I mean, San Antonio, that's – it's scary. Like, they lost Tim Duncan, which granted, you know, I don't think a lot of people thought they're going to get worse after losing Tim Duncan. He wasn't really at his peak anymore at that point. But just more of the fact that Kawhi Leonard has really taking on that role right now. You got Pau Gasol and LaMarcus Aldridge there.
And David Lee. I mean, let's not.
They have David Lee as
forget,
well.
David Lee was an all-star 4 years ago. He's still a really, really solid player. And I saw that move this offseason. I was like, what a great pickup. And I'm happy for David Lee because he's going to get a chance to win a championship there. He'll at least be competing for one this season. And so, you know, shouts to him. But that team is scary good, and it's going to take a while for the Warriors to gel as a group. Obviously, everyone keeps pointing to the interior defense as their biggest weakness, and it's going to be one thing I've noticed in watching the games. Part of their problem is they have so much talent that I don't think they know where to go with the ball yet. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
Clay. And Klay hasn't played well this season yet.
He hasn't been shooting at all.
No, he hasn't been shooting well because I think it's one of those things where it's hard because if you have what would be a good shot, but and the Warriors were great at doing this last year, giving up good shots for great shots. But when you add one more superstar, I think it makes it harder because then you're questioning, should I shoot this or should I get the ball to KD or should I get to Steph or should I get to Klay or whomever, right? Yeah. So I think that dynamic is just going to take a while to figure out. But I do think if right now, if I was to bet money on who is going to win the championship, I would put most of my money on the Cavs simply because they have the easiest path because they play in the East. And then after that, I would go San Antonio. So I would put two teams before the Warriors. And granted, they have a lot of time to figure this thing out. I just don't know what they're going to do about solving their interior defense problem because there's not a dude coming off the bench that automatically does that for him.
Yeah, they're going to need to, I think, acquire somebody. Because
I think they're going to need to make a move during the trade deadline as well. And this is what happens when you have to get rid of your entire bench. I mean, they have seven new players on the team this year. Seven. You know, that's
a lot.
That's half the roster they've turned over. And I knew that they would struggle at first because, look, guys like Mo Buckets, Mo Spates, Festus Ezeli, Harrison Barnes, Andrew Bogut, these guys were – Leandro Barbosa, these guys were major contributors last year. And even in the finals, there was a game there, I want to say it was game three, that Mo Spates came in and gave him a huge lift off the bench, and then the Warriors came back and made a run and won the game. Same with Ezeli had a game there in the finals that he came in and dominated for a little bit. And these are the guys I think you're really going to miss in the long run. It's when you can't get those, when those threes aren't dropping and your starters are coming off the floor, who from the bench? Now, we still have Iggy, obviously. The Warriors still have Sean Livingston. But I think they're going to need a bit more than that to, if they want to win a championship. Now, granted, their bench is very top heavy, and I put those two against anyone's bench as far as the top of the bench. But then once you go deeper than that, we're talking JaVale McGee, the rookie McCaw looks okay, but he's a rookie. Kevon Looney doesn't look like he's ready to play in the NBA just yet. I mean, he made a couple dumb fouls yesterday. So, you know, I just think this is going to take a while for them to all gel, and I think they are going to have to make a move to get a defender in there. I just don't know how because they're pretty hamstrung as far as their cap now. with having all those superstars, and they got to pay Steph this offseason. So we'll see. I don't want to get too down because we're only in week one.
You guys will say the first week's not even done yet.
Yeah. So it's not all doom and gloom. It's week one. And this happened to the Heat as well. Granted, they never lost by 29 at home when they had their super team ever. So that's a little different. But we'll see. We'll see. And they didn't have to play the Spurs in their first home game. But Kawhi Leonard looks like he's going to make a push for MVP.
Dude got trained with Kobe Bryant this offseason. That's why. Shouts to Kobe.
Yeah. Still in the league. Kobe is such a philanthropist now. It's so weird to see that to me.
He's
it's so weird to see that. But anyway, the Spurs look awesome. Around the league real quick, LeBron James is looking like a mutant. At least that's what my notes here say, and he has been. It's been a lot of fun to watch LeBron. I know Jake in particular hates LeBron, and I know a lot of people out there do, and I could see why as far as maybe like his passive aggressiveness and stuff like that. But as a player, man, is there someone more fun to watch? I mean, he had a pass against Orlando where he wrapped around.
That was disgusting.
He had two on the baseline to a spot where Dunleavy wasn't even at yet. That pass was disgusting. The way he's dunking the ball, I remember I now have no excuses for not being able to dunk anymore because he's only a month older than me. And he's putting up like Showtime dunk contest dunks in the middle of a game, and he's 31, and that doesn't make any sense to me.
He looks so jazzed up right now.
He does. I mean, he looks amazing. Yeah. The Cavs look good, so that'll be fun to watch. Anthony Davis is averaging 37.7 points per game. He had a 50-pointer and then a 45-pointer the very next game against the Warriors. He looks insanely good. It's too bad he's on a terrible team.
Hopefully, I mean, you don't know if he's going to be the type that's going to be moving around. He probably is because the Pelicans don't really seem like the type of team that can acquire the pieces needed to make a guy like him a champion.
Yeah.
So he'll probably be on his way at some point. But it would be interesting to see if he could maybe find one piece and try to take that team, you know, get him into the playoffs because he is a stud.
Yeah. We're running out of time here. Dame Dalla, a.k.a. Damian Lillard, out the biggity-biggity-o, making a case for MVP, averaging 35 points per game.
I'm pretty sure I did say that, him over James Harden. So Dame Lillard.
Yeah, yeah. We both did. We were in agreement.
Okay. I thought you were like...
No, he was my dark horse to win the MVP.
Oh, I thought...
Check the archive, player.
I thought you were just... Never mind.
No, I just said, would you take the 20-1 odds on James Harden? No. I thought there was some value there if you're betting. But anyway, I want to talk about how the Warriors are not cut out to be villains, but we'll save that for next week because we want to get into our Now I Know segment. So without further ado, let's do that.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Now we know.
Yeah, we do.
You want to kick it off? You want me to kick it off?
I'll start with it right now.
All right, we got 3 minutes, so we got to rapid-fire these.
Now I know Brandon Jennings' feelings towards D'Angelo Russell, finally. I've been waiting on pins and needles, wondering what Brandon Jennings thought of D'Angelo because, you know, Brandon Jennings means everything. Over this past weekend, Brandon Jennings said that D'Angelo Williams is a great baller, but he's a snitch and we never want to play on a team with him, bringing up last year's old news. Thank you, Brandon Jennings. We appreciate it.
Yes, thank you, sir. Now I know the best thing in the NFL this year will not be the Super Bowl. It will not even be the playoffs. It will be the moment that Roger Goodell has to hand over the MVP trophy to Tom Brady after suspending him for deflating footballs 2 seasons ago.
Suck it, Goodell.
That is going to be awesome.
That would be amazing.
I can't wait.
Now I know that Fox likes to split their coverage of the World Series with images of celebrities watching the World Series. It's created quite the storyline. Famous people from Chicago like the Cubs. Bill Murray, I'm talking about you. We see you all the time there. I'm going to say over under on how many times Bill Murray is going to be on TV in the next couple of games. I'm going to say 10.
I'd go over.
Over? Okay.
Well, yeah, I'd go over. Let's see. Now I know there is still a Revolutionary War hangover in this country, and we still, as a nation, hold a huge grudge against those bloody Brits. You need proof? Colts and Jags? Then we sent over Washington and Cincinnati to play to a draw.
That's all good times right there.
Yep.
Suck it, England. And now I know that Jim Harbaugh does not know how to spell the word fact.
Oh, yes. Let me get into this.
After beating down Michigan State, their bitter in-state rivalries, he went to the podium and tried to have a little spelling contest with himself and came out with this.
It's the agony of defeat. Anytime you win, it's a great thrill of victory and wonderful feeling of winning. It's just the fact of business. Fact. F-A-C-K. Fact.
Not accurate. Not entirely accurate.
Nice
there.
Try, Jim Harbaugh. Nice try. F-A-C-T for all of you who didn't know.
Now I know that my theory of kickers being irrelevant and field goals being taken out of the NFL